Hello and welcome to the True Blue LA podcast. I'm Jacob Birch. Eric Stevens here. We're recording this on Tuesday, what is it? The 7th, apparently?
Yep.
I've been our normal recording day for a while, and I always find it's always different when we record on a Tuesday when the Dodgers have a game on Monday. Have you ever noticed how series-driven, quote-unquote, the narrative tends to be? If we had recorded before the game yesterday, it would have been nonstop about the Giants series and how kind of a disappointment it was, and we're going to be talking about that. But all that's in my head right now is just how good Max Scherzer is.
Yeah.
Shocker, right? Yeah. Three Cy Youngs. Oh, who would have thought?
The Hall of Famer the Dodgers acquired is pitching like a Hall of Famer. But, like, it's not just that he's, like, as good as he's ever pitched, yeah. Kind of, right now. So, yeah, he's been excellent, and we're going to talk about it. And it was, and he was in his, like, hometown yesterday on Monday. So, yeah, it was good times.
And we're going to talk about that. We will talk about the Giants series. Got some trivia, got some questions from Craig. Have a Dodgers rewind. We'll talk about that after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
One of the many shifts, you know, in quote-unquote the narrative that I find amusing is going into Sunday's ESPN game. It was like Walker Buehler, Cy Young favorite. And, you know, thinking of the meme of the guy looking behind, looking at the other lady, where now you have Max Scherzer. Hey, maybe the Dodgers still have a Cy Young candidate.
There was a time a couple years ago, I was going through, like, I don't remember where I was searching, but I stumbled across like a stock video or stock photo archive, and there were, so that's a pretty famous meme, the distracted boyfriend meme, I believe is what that one's called. And but if you look, there's a lot of like common actors who are like hired for those, you know, and there's a series where I believe the ignored woman in that photo, I believe she is the distracted girlfriend in like a couple, and it like was not as popular, but like it's out there. So if you find that, do some searching. It's a good time. But yeah, that's one of the more popular memes ever. And you're right. It's funny because not only just, you know, we sort of thought, you know, Buehler's like fighting for the Cy Young with Zach Wheeler, or like pick a Brewers pitcher here, or, you know, like, and they're like, oh yeah, like Max Scherzer also really, really good. And a lot of that is due to his like time with the Dodgers. So yesterday, Labor Day, this is one of my like favorite baseball things that like is a weird little quirky thing where it's like a manager wearing cleats for no reason. When a catcher like takes a foul tip or gets hit in the beans, or an umpire takes a foul ball or something, the umpire will either brush home plate to give the catcher more time, or the catcher will go visit the pitcher to give the umpire more time. It's one of those like little fun things I love. The other thing is a pitcher traveling, the next day's starting pitcher traveling ahead of the team. And this was especially, like, normally it doesn't, you know, there's not a whole lot of difference maybe in most trips, I would say, especially when the Dodgers are playing, like, division mates, you know, there's probably, those are shorter trips occasionally. But this one, they had the Sunday night game on ESPN, and then Monday was Labor Day, which meant afternoon game. So that game was originally scheduled at 11:15 local time in St. Louis, which is 1:15 Pacific. And so they they moved it back 2 hours. So started at 1:15 Pacific, but after a 4 p.m. Sunday night start. So Dodgers, I think, got into St. Louis at 3 p.m. They started the game at 3 p.m. local. So Scherzer flew ahead of the team, was well rested, and it showed. He was pretty dominant. Like, he allowed one run, but it was unearned. It was I think the Cardinals had four hits off him in eight innings, and two of them came in one inning. So they had first and third, and then the run scored on a passed ball. What was funny, because it scored at the exact moment where Scherzer, okay, so Walker Buehler, we'll get into Buehler in a second, but he had a bad start Sunday night, but he still led the majors in ERA after the game because he had a really sizable lead in that regard. But by the time Scherzer got to the sixth inning on Monday, he's at 5 2/3 innings, and there's no the Cardinals haven't scored yet. So at this point, he was right behind Buehler. It was like, I think it was Buehler's like 2.313, and Scherzer was 2.12 or 3.1 or whatever it is.
Close.
pretend I have the numbers right, but it was like really close. But he needed one more out to pass Buehler, and then when the run scored, I'm like, oh, he just missed it, right? But then I was like, oh yeah, pass ball is unearned run. Had someone gotten a hit, it would have been an earned run. Anyway, but they didn't get a hit, so he did in fact pass Buehler, and so he's Scherzer now leading the majors in ERA. He's down to 2.28 at the end of the game. But with the Dodgers, right, seven starts, 1.05 ERA, 1.33 FIP. He has 63 strikeouts and five walks. He's 23 strikeouts since his last walk. The last walk was August 26th in San Diego. It was later in that game. He went 7 2/3 in that game, too. Now, he didn't travel ahead of the team that night, but they did send him back to the hotel, like, early during the middle game, and that was the game that went 16 innings. So he literally woke up to, like, they did what? last night? And it was funny because he said, he saw, like, that they went 16 innings. He's like, well, I know what I have to do now. And he just went and, like, pitched into the eighth. No big deal. So ESPN showed a graphic, I believe, on – this must have been on SportsCenter, but their stats account tweeted it out too. First seven starts with a team, an ERA below 150 and 60 strikeouts. That's what Scherzer's at. He's well below 150. But there's only four pitchers since earned runs became official in 1913. The first one, Fernando Valenzuela, famously. If this is first seven starts, they worded it that way for a reason. Fernando pitched in relief in 1980, but He had a 0.50 ERA after eight starts with the Dodgers. But yeah, so he's there, and then it didn't happen again until Randy Johnson. He's the bigger comp to Scherzer because he was a trade deadline acquisition. He was kind of so-so that year with the Mariners, and then he was just absolutely lights out with the Astros. It, like, going into free agency, it was like perfect timing for him. Same with Scherzer, who's a little bit older than Randy Johnson was, but also similarly future Hall of Famer at this point. But yeah, the other one was Gerrit Cole in 2018 when he joined the Astros. So yeah, so the Dodgers have won all seven of Scherzer's starts. I look back, I had forgotten he started one of the games in July when the Dodgers were in Washington, but when Scherzer was with the Nationals this year, he allowed one run in six innings in both starts against the Dodgers, but the Dodgers won both games. They won all the games against the Nationals this year, so technically Scherzer started in nine Dodger games this year, and the Dodgers are 9-0. Bill Plunkett, after Monday's game, he asked Scherzer, you know, about how good his numbers were, and he's like, how does he feel about sort of being a hired gun, you know, being the guy at the trade deadline, helping his new team? And this was Max Scherzer's response.
What coming over here, my job is to go out there when it's my turn to go out there and win. There's a ton of pressure to do that. You got to compartmentalize it and go out there and accept it and go out there and give it your best every single time and understand, you know, what makes you successful and how to avoid big innings. This team is great. Every time I've gone out there, they've done a great job of providing run support and run support early. And so, you know, being in a team that gives you early run support allows you to get into your game plan, into your rhythm a lot quicker. And so it's been fun with, you know, these games going out there and pitching, and we're going out there and winning every single time. You know, I don't care about, you know, my personal record. I just care about the team record. And when you say we go 7-0, you know, that's music to my ears.
Yeah, so I just kind of really like how Scherzer seems to just embrace his role. Like, he knows what he's here to do, right? Like, he's there to get outs, get strikeouts if he can, but, like, pitch deep into games and win. And he's been around the block before. He's won three Cy Youngs, obviously. He's kind of done it all. And he's been great. And the Dodgers have, like, needed every second of it because they still, at this point, we'll get into this a little bit later, but, like, they still are only running three starters out there and then filling in the innings on the other games. So, like, they absolutely needed Scherzer the last, you know, 5 weeks or whatever, and they're going to keep needing him, obviously, from now until the end of the season and into October. So, like, he's been huge. So back to the sort of Cy Young thing. So right now, it kind of snuck up on you. Like I knew he was having a good year. I guess I didn't realize how good it was until, like, he took over the major league lead in ERA, I guess. So he leads the majors in ERA, also ERA plus 178. He has a 0.857 whip, also leads the majors. He leads the majors in strikeout rate, 35.4%, and opponent's batting average, 180. He's third in both versions of WAR. He's at 5.6, baseball reference. Zach Wheeler's at 6.5, the leader. He's at 4.7 in Fangraphs. Corbin Burns is the leader there. I believe he's at 6.6. Scherzer's third in FIP. He's second in OPS against and second in total strikeouts. So he's kind of right there, right? Like with most of the other Cy Young candidates. This brings up the question. I can't remember. This must have been 3 weeks ago, I think, when the Dodgers were playing the Mets in New York on another Sunday night baseball game, and Matt Vasgersian and Alex Rodriguez were talking about the Dodgers' playoff rotation and just showing zero awareness of the actual team, talking about how, like, Bueller would be, like, the Game 3 pitcher, I believe, is what they said, and just nonsensical stuff. And I thought it was kind of obvious, like, that the Dodgers' preference is Bueller, Scherzer, Kershaw. We talked about it. And then with the caveat that, like, obviously Scherzer's the only one who could, like, start a game one over Bueller. This is obviously if the Dodgers have their way, they have everyone right, lined up like they want.
And even then, we heavily couch this in, I think, I specifically, like, they could be having to pitch extremely important games the last regular season.
Exactly.
They may not get the have this choice.
But now, like, it's like, okay, maybe Scherzer's game one, right? Like, that's... But, and you don't want to, like, stray away from Buehler because he had one bad game, and I don't think they are. I'm just saying it's not as foregone a conclusion as maybe I thought it was.
Yeah, I think it's going to come to, like, the weirdest tie breaks. Like, who do they think can recover quick? Like, just so many, like... almost flip a coin at that point. Like, I imagine it'll be close enough, assuming, you know, they can do it perfectly. They're on equal rest or whatever. Go in the matchups, I guess, right? Like,
so
normally that wouldn't matter. You wouldn't care about matchups when you're dealing with such good pitchers. But if they're both going to be that good, you might as well kind of look into that a little bit.
Now, I don't think they would necessarily do this because I don't think they're as aggressive as this, but, like, and also I think they trust Urias more, but, like, if it's a situation for the NLDS specifically because the off days allow it, I think you would lean towards Scherzer in game one there if you have the luxury of having that choice. I think Scherzer goes game one and then Buehler game two, because if the NLDS goes game five, the game two starter can start on regular rest because there's two off days in between. And if you wanted to pitch game one starter in game four on short rest, which known as the Kershaw for like four straight years, way back when, like, I think Scherzer's the guy they would do that with if they did it with anyone at all. I don't think they're necessarily there, but, like, that's sort of where, like, one of the little caveats maybe. And then you sort of use Urias in, like, you know, like he did last year early, or at times like a two or three inning relief guy if needed.
Yeah.
And
but that is still, we're in best case scenario territory.
Exactly.
Joe and Earl talked about yesterday. I'm normally a big fan of Team Entropy.
Yeah.
Not when it's staring in the face of Dodgers going to a game 163 into a wild card game. Not a fan. Yeah. No thanks.
So here's the thing. There's so many things now because of Sunday's loss. So the Dodgers and Giants were tied for first place. They split the first two games of the series, and so they go into Sunday, last game of the year between them. They're 9-9 against each other. The winner of Sunday gets the tiebreaker. So. And then Buehler got knocked around six runs in three innings. So, Giants win. They're in first place by a game. They still are after Monday. So, the Giants have the tiebreaker, which means if they are tied for the division, they're right now, like, the Rays are tied with the Dodgers, but the Giants and Dodgers have the two best records in baseball, not just the division. But there could be a situation where they get screwed the most, even as winners. Like, if they tie for the division, they have to play Monday in San Francisco, and then the NL wildcard game is Wednesday. So that would be, if the Dodgers lose that game, it would be at Dodger Stadium. So it would be LA Sunday, because they're playing the Brewers to end the season. San Francisco Monday. If they lose, they go LA Wednesday. And then if they win that, they'd go back to San Francisco Friday. So, like, with using, like, you'd have your game 163 pitcher to go game two. You wouldn't have your wild card pitcher till game three. Like, it screws everything up. Like, really, like, so I don't know. It's a weird situation, but also, you know, what one they're sort of in. But yeah, just for Buehler for a second, even with the bad start, he's still second in the majors in ERA. He's fourth in Baseball Reference WAR, 5.5. He's fourth in Fangraphs WAR. His big thing is innings. Only Zach Wheeler has more innings right now. Buehler's at 179. He has 35 more innings than Corbin Burns, 25 more innings than Scherzer. So I think if it comes down to it, I think that's where his advantage lies. Like, Zach Wheeler is, I mean, it really depends who finishes well, but, like, Zach Wheeler leads the league in innings and strikeouts. He is up in Baseball Reference WAR, Burns is leading. He's second in Fangraphs WAR. So Wheeler might be the favorite, but it's super close.
I think a lot of this is going to come down. I'm using this word all the time to narrative in that.
Yeah.
If the Dodgers win the division and one of Bueller or Scherzer kind of separates themselves, basically if Scherzer keeps doing what he did yesterday,
right. He has a 1.05 ERA like the last four starts or whatever, too. But like, it's
very reminiscent to CeCe Sabathia. Not that CeCe didn't deserve that, but so much of that story of him winning was how incredible he was for Milwaukee.
Also, and he was incredible, too, because he like pitched Milwaukee into the playoffs for the first time in 25 years, I believe. And so he finished high up in the Cy Young voting. I think he was fourth, but that was on 2 months in the National League because he was in the American League. Scherzer has a whole season of National League. So like, it's not, you know what I mean? Like he can be amazing and also still have the like full season cred as well. I think had like Sabathia come from a National League team to the Brewers, he would have like swept that Cy Young because his overall numbers were great. Plus, So the Dodgers, they lost the series of the Giants. Honestly, if they lose, they have no one to blame but themselves. They've played the Giants three times since the All-Star break. They've lost all three series. They've lost 7 out of 10 games. They're only down a game with 24 to play, so there's like plenty of time to like catch up. It's just obviously out of their hands specifically. That said, like last week, still pretty eventful. The Brewers won the first three games against the Giants in San Francisco and helped the Dodgers a little bit because they swept the Braves. And on Wednesday, they moved into first place. It was the first time since April 28th. So they were in first place, either shared or tied for 3 days last week, and they hadn't really been in first place. So Dodgers front office employees got ice cream. That's sort of the team tradition. Dave Roberts even addressed it on the post game Zoom on Saturday. He was like laughing, but he's like, "So for all the people back at the office, you're welcome." He said it was pretty funny. So the funny thing is, like, so since the break, even though the Dodgers lost all those games to the Giants, out in non-Giants games, they're 28-9. So maybe that's what they need. They just need to play the not-Giants to catch the Giants. So the other thing they sort of need is the offense to, like the offense, by the way, still leading the National League in runs on the season. But, like, the last, I look, 17 games, not so much. Averaging like 3.7 runs a game, hitting 197, 273, 348 over that time. So yet I believe, I have to look, I think they're 13-4 in that stretch, or maybe 12-5. So like the pitching is obviously carrying them, Scherzer and others. But like Monday afternoon in St. Louis, they scored 4 in the first and then one run the rest of the way. They were 0-19 to finish the game off. So, but like Scherzer was so dominant, it really didn't matter. They had the full strength lineup that we talked about. Full strength doesn't really exist, but they had it for 8 games, and they didn't really do much in those 8 games. They don't have it anymore because AJ Pollock hurt his right hamstring on Saturday in San Francisco. That was the only time in the 17 game stretch where the Dodgers scored more than 5. They scored 6 that night. They had 3 in the first inning. That's when Pollock, the Dodgers were like running wild. They had 3 steals in the inning, and Pollock tried to steal third, but he got picked off. And then while running to third, he hurt his hamstring. It's a grade 2 strain, and he's supposed to miss at least 2 to 3 weeks. So it could keep him out like into the playoffs. We'll see. They're optimistic about it, but that's what they always say. So who knows, but it's pretty major. So now basically means like Cody Bellinger is going to play a lot more than probably expected. The weird thing is like, so they optioned Matt Beatty right after the 16 inning game because they needed extra pitching. But it was like couch. They optioned Beatty and Lux on the same day. It was, you know, they need playing time. We need pitchers right now. They have options. They didn't outright say it, but Billy McKinney doesn't have options, and that's why they kept him around. But like Beatty was being used as a pinch hitter and stuff. So like they could have called Beatty up Sunday. That was when his 10 days were up, and they didn't. And like he's not with the team now. Like, I think by the time this is out, Steven Souza might be activated again. So they're going with the right-handed bat there. He wasn't like all that good with the Dodgers the first round. We're talking 25 at bats. So like, don't want to like judge anything off that, but like, it's a little weird. Like, I know Matt Beatty is like a bad outfielder, just generally defensively, but he's also by far like the best hitting option of all those. Now, maybe it's just another left-handed guy, and they have enough of those. But it seems weird that they haven't at least called him up. Like, Zach McKinstry's active right now on the roster, mm-hmm. So like it's just weird to me that they haven't called Beatty back up at least to be a pinch hitter. I know it's not full rosters. It's not like 40-man rosters anymore in September. But on a 28-man roster, I think you can find a spot for pinch hitter Matt Beatty at least, if not occasional left field starter Matt Beatty. So, yeah, it's a little weird. But, yeah, and I'll get to another potential square peg round hole option there in a second when we get to the trivia question.
Ooh.
But, excuse me, another like aspect. The Dodgers have three starters, as we talked about. However, tonight, by the time you listen to this, this rehab assignment probably will have already happened, but Clayton Kershaw, pitching for Oklahoma City, supposed to go three innings. If everything goes well, his next game is going to be with the Dodgers. So I would imagine that's either Sunday at the earliest, probably next week at home against the Diamondbacks, like on Monday or something. Tony Gonsolin pitched 2 1/3 on Saturday. He's probably going to be activated as sort of a whatever role at some point this week. They're still doing the pitching scramble where they're filling in innings. Like, Mitch White's going to pitch probably today, I would imagine. Andre Jackson's going to pitch tomorrow. I think Gonsolin will probably be in the mix for those games. They might do bullpen, or you know, essentially bullpen games the last 3 days of the series in St. Louis to give the other three starters extra rest. So we'll see how that goes. Urias is still up in the air for Thursday. The other thing was David Price is sort of I'm not sure how much he's going to start anymore. Like, it was weird because
it was really weird.
On Friday, he was like in line, and it was, you know, they said Corey Knebel starting. That makes some sense because they've been doing openers for the short starter guys, you know, especially the opposite hand. But then before Friday's game, they're like, yeah, David Price feeling arm soreness. This is Dave Roberts saying this. And then we're probably going to put him on the injured list. We're still talking through it, that kind of a thing. It was later for the beat reporters in San Francisco on Friday. Roberts said it was elbow soreness. So obviously concerning. His velocity's been down, David Price. So, and then they didn't put him on the injured list before the game. So they didn't add like an extra pitcher. Saturday, or actually, that game went to 11 innings. They used all 11 active relievers that night. After the game, Dave Roberts says, yeah, Evan Phillips, who ended up getting the loss on an error by Trey Turner, was a bad luck play because Evan Phillips pitched pretty well. Phillips was going to pitch the 12th. It hadn't gone that long. And then they were going to bring David Price for the 13th. They're like, wait, what? You were just going to put him on the injured list. And then on Saturday, they're like, yeah, we're still not deciding.
Would you go to Phillips, make and Vasquez before him? Like it's just weird. Like,
well, that made weird. But also, I think also Dave Roberts was lying.
Yes. Like, no, that's exactly it. Yeah. So Vasquez, yeah, like, I don't believe you.
Yeah.
I think we were going to see Justin Turner, ER leader for the Dodgers.
The next day, Roberts was like, yeah, David Price, he's active until he's not. Like, he might still be on the injured. They didn't put him on the injured list again. He ended up pitching Sunday, like an inning and 2/3. He allowed like 5 runners to reach base. Technically 4. He intentionally walked a guy. Wasn't all that effective. His velocity was still down there. Still, but my point is, his role right now, not really bulk guy. It's TBD based on how he feels. Yeah. So like. So he's part of that sort of nebulous group that fills innings. But here's where they've done this so much that here's where they were at this last week. So as we were recording last week, the Dodgers claimed those two dudes off the Cubs. but we recorded on Tuesday last week. That was August 31st. So that's the last day teams can add players to, like, be eligible for the postseason. You just have to be in the organization by, like, midnight, August 31st. But the Dodgers specifically last week were, because of all the guys they optioned, they didn't have any pitchers left to call up on September 1st. Like, now, it's not the old days where the rosters expand to 40. It goes from 26 to 28. They ended up adding one pitcher on September 1st, but they didn't have him in the organization because they, like, Mitch White, Andre Jackson, Victor Gonzalez, Edwin Yuseta, and Darian Nunez all had to wait, like, a X number of days. I think Gonzalez was the earliest. He's still in the minors. But, the first two games of September, they didn't have pitchers to call up on the 40-man who were healthy because they had optioned so many, and they've been cycling through them. So what they did Tuesday, they claimed Ryan Messenger and Meisinger and Jake Jewell from the Cubs. They traded for left-hander Andrew Vasquez. But here's Meisinger's week. Tuesday, claimed off waivers by the Dodgers from the Cubs. He was called up along with Zach McKinstry on September 1st. He wore number 57. They added him to the active roster. He did not pitch in that game. They optioned him Thursday, the off day, for Andrew Vasquez, who was just acquired. Now, Vasquez was not on the 40-man, which is why he was allowed to be traded. Traded for a minor league journeyman sort of catcher or guy, Stevie Berman. And Vasquez ended up pitching twice over the weekend in San Francisco. But then Meisinger, they outrighted him off the roster on Saturday. So he's no longer on the 40-man. But he is definitely going to get a 2021 season in review because he was technically a Dodger. So, yeah, weird times. And then Vasquez himself was optioned on Monday. Now, all this sort of roster crunching has mostly been, like, pitching heavy of late. However, there's been a lot of, like, offensive players as well. One of those who is on his third team now, one of those was the Dodgers, old friend Yoshi Tsutsugo. He was released by the Dodgers on August 14th. He was playing in AAA Oklahoma City. I haven't heard this officially. This was presumably, I believe, because he found an opportunity to play every day, and he wasn't going to get that with the Dodgers, especially at the time when, like, A.J. Pollock's healthy and Bellinger's healthy. Like,
yeah, there's this specter of hope around Bellinger.
Right, but also, like, so Tsutsugo's, like, first and left, basically, and not very good, I think, defensively, like, in the outfield. So they have that in Matt Beatty in terms of, like, production. So, like, you could sort of see why he wasn't really going to play in Los Angeles. And even if he was, it would have been, like, a bench guy, and he probably didn't want to do that. And so I think it was, one of those, like, just find, you know, he's found a place to play, we'll let him go, right? So they released him 2 days later. He signed with the Pirates. Now, Tsutsugo has played in 20 games with Pittsburgh. What is his slugging percentage with the Pirates?
I will take a stab at that after this.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What is the slugging percentage of Yoshi Susugo with the Pirates?
Oh. Yeah, 20 games.
No, I have some idea because I saw some rumblings about this. So I know his OPS is something like 1.5. Right? Is that fair? Is that accurate? You're not going to tell me?
A couple of those numbers are right.
Okay. let's say his slugging percentage is something like, 900.
Okay, so you're not far off. His actual OPS is 1150.
Okay.
So 1.15, it was close.
I had hopes.
His slugging percentage, 816.
Okay.
His slugging percentage with the Dodgers is 120. He had no extra base hits. That's in fairness. Let's go with Tampa and the Dodgers combined, mm-hmm. and that was his slugging percentage was 194 in 118 plate appearances. So, yeah, he's hit 7 home runs. He had like at least one walk off, I believe, a walk off grand slam. He's just been tattooing the ball. So yeah, he's been really good, and that now everyone's lamenting, especially with Pollock out. Oh, could have had Susugo. He could be playing, but I hesitate to think. I mean, obviously, it could have worked out that way, but I just don't think that was in the cards, given how they were sort of using him. But also, yeah, it's rough.
He wasn't with the cards. Right? He was with the Pirates. So.
The Dodgers are playing the cards right now.
That's true.
all this talk about Max Scherzer.
Yeah.
Got me thinking about today's Dodgers Rewind. It's Carlos Perez.
very so, similar comp, I'm sure.
Exactly. And this is one of those things, like, I know people get mad at this. The trivia question is going to be about this. But, like, the Nationals and the Expos, two, like, distinct... I don't know how to... On one hand, I understand the logic behind treating them as two separate franchises, just because of the way it went down, for one thing, but like, just they are like the same franchise, because like the team that was playing in 2004 was the team that was playing in 2005 in Washington. So like, it's weird, but I get there's a lot of pushback, like, when someone says so-and-so is Ryan Zimmerman or whatever has the most hits in Nationals/Expos history. So I don't know if that's the case. I'm just saying. And someone will be like, it's not the same team. Well, yeah, it kind of is. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just weird. I don't want to get into that argument now, but just that's what made me think of it. And I'll get to that in the trivia question. But Perez came over in 1998. We've had a lot of 1998 centric Dodgers rewinds of late. That was a tumultuous year. A lot of remember some guys. July 31st trade deadline, Dodgers deal with the Expos. I think the most memorable name from the group was Mark Grzelanik. He came over with Perez and Hiram Bocachica, who I always enjoyed because the last 3 years of high school, my address was Boca Chica Trail in Thousand Palms, California. So I always enjoyed that there was a major league player with that last name. So, yeah, it was fun. So the Expos, the Dodgers sent the Expos, Wilton Guerrero, who played in the majors, and then the top prospect in the deal was Peter Bergeron, who I just remember. I wasn't like that into prospects at the time, but I just remember being like mad that they traded Peter Bergeron for some reason. And like, nobody knows who Peter Bergeron is because, you know, whatever. But like, Ted Lilly was traded in that deal, Dodgers to the Expos, and then came back to the Dodgers years later. And then the one guy in the deal from the Dodgers to the Expos who didn't make the majors was a utility man named Johnny Tucker. Perez was the younger brother of Pascual and Melito Perez. Pascual was by far the older brother. Melito was closer in age to Carlos. At the time the Dodgers traded for Carlos Perez, he was 27. He was a lefty. He had a 1.12 ERA plus in like 2.5 years with the Expos. Pretty good. He was very good down the stretch. 11 starts, 1.25 ERA plus. Man, he and Brian Bohannon anchored the Dodgers rotation after the trade deadline that year. But, you know, didn't really, wasn't in the cards for them. The cards again. so after that, though, for Paris, it was rough. I wrote the record wrong. I believe he was 2-11. I'm going to look this up because I don't want to get it wrong. Or maybe it was 2-10. I'll get it in a second. Because I closed out of that page. Yeah, he had a 2-10 record in 17 games, which is hard to do. 16 of those were starts. 7.43 ERA in 1999. That year was famous for him. In a game on June 16th, he walked the bases loaded and was taken out of the game. Then he went into the dugout and just tried to obliterate the water cooler with the baseball bat, and it was hilarious. But it also, you know, possibly showed some anger issues, which we'll talk about in a second. 2000 wasn't any better. 5.56 ERA in 144 innings. Also that year, during a road trip in July, Perez was accused of threatening to kill flight attendant Sander Comine on the team charter from, I can't remember if it was from L.A. to San Francisco or San Francisco to L.A., the flight attendant suffered spinal injuries and had to have multiple surgeries. The news report said she was roughed up. She sued the Dodgers for $3 million the next year, named Perez and Kevin Elster in the lawsuit. It was later settled out of court in 2003 for an undisclosed amount. But yeah, Perez never pitched in the majors again. He was in the minors in 2001. 6 starts, 6.53 ERA for AAA Las Vegas, and then the Dodgers released him. He bounced around in the Dominican Republic for years. He pitched in the World Baseball Classic at age 38 in 2009, and that was kind of the last I can remember hearing of him. But yeah, so this started out as like, I remember Carlos Perez. I'm like, oh God, this is terrible. I guess I was like researching stuff. So that's how it works out sometimes. They're not everyone can be Max Scherzer. However, how they're related. Perez pitched 511 innings with the Expos, 311 with the Dodgers. Scherzer is currently at 1229 innings with the Nationals / Expos and 43 with the Dodgers. So maybe they re-sign him. Maybe he gets to this plateau. However, there are three other pitchers other than Perez to pitch at least 200 innings for both the Dodgers and the Expos / Nationals. Can you name them?
No. And that's the show. No, we have questions from Craig. No, I'll take a stab at it. Ted Lilly.
No.
What? You jerk. You set me up.
Yeah. So I'm going to look. I don't think, I think Lilly was dealt like before he reached the majors. Yeah. So he played, he pitched 23 2/3 innings in 1999 at the Expos.
I'm sorry. My brain will not allow Ted Lilly, the prospect, to enter my head.
Yep.
Can you give me, I have a few names written down, but they're just guesses. They're stupid guesses. Can you give me some eras? Have some eras.
Yeah, okay. But before I give you the eras, I will say this. Two are relievers. One's a starter.
Oh, I'm screwed.
One of the starter and one of the relievers pitched in the 90s, late 90s for the reliever into the 2000s. And then the other reliever was in the 70s.
I'm going to need more hints if you got them. And if not, I'll just tap out in an embarrassed
fashion. One of the relievers shares the name with an outfielder.
That doesn't help.
It should help.
It should help, but you forget I'm stupid. So
one of these, I'll give you two more hints that should be giveaways.
Don't say that. You always do that where you say, oh, this is going to make it too easy. And then I don't know. And then I feel like a bigger idiot. If I'm naming the name pitchers of the 90s, I'm not claiming anything.
One pitcher won a Cy Young. The other one made his Dodger debut in the All-Star game.
No, I'm tapping out.
Okay, Mike Marshall. was traded from the Expos to the Dodgers before the 1974 season for Willie Davis, and then won the Cy Young in 1974 because he pitched every single game. Kevin Gross was the starter, mm-hmm. Pitched a no-hitter for the Dodgers. Jeff Shaw was the reliever. Okay. In between his Expos days and the Dodgers, he went to the Reds, and then when he was traded from the Reds to the Dodgers again in 1998, it was right before the All-Star game, so his first time wearing a Dodger uniform was in the All-Star game, which was it's always going to be hilarious to me. So, yeah, that's the other. Now, I saved in here, just for comparison's sake, Pedro Martinez mm-hmm. pitched 797 innings for the Expos, won a Cy Young. With the Dodgers, he only pitched 115, so he didn't make the cutoff.
That's actually this, so. The two of the names I written down here that I was proud, because here's the thing. Yeah, I started following the Dodgers in like the 90s and the aughts. I certainly wasn't paying attention to who was on the Expos, so I was gonna have to go off purely just guessing or very faint memories of like video games, essentially. And so I obviously thought of Pedro, but I was 99% sure he didn't get 200. I actually had him having less than 100 in my head, but I was still right around there. And I'm very proud that the other name I thought of was Odalis Perez, who had 159.2 innings with the Nationals.
Hmm.
So
that's good. That is pretty good.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. But again, like I felt like it was just not quite enough.
Mm-hmm.
So. All right, I'll take this, and I'm ready to be the quizmaster now. Are you?
Yay!
I didn't write the questions though. We had a friend who did, because it's time for
Questions from Craig.
We love it.
There.
Damn it.
Five questions from our friend Craig Minami. You ready?
Yep.
Max Scherzer recorded his 104th career 10 or more strikeout game on Monday. He is one of five pitchers to have more than 100 games with 10 or more strikeouts. The other four are, this is not a question for you, Nolan Ryan, Randy Johnson, Roger Clemens, and Pedro Martinez. This week's trivia questions are about strikeouts. You ready?
Yay.
All right, let's do this. Seven pitchers in Dodger franchise history have 20 or more games with 10-plus strikeouts. Who are these bat missers? I love when Craig comes up with nouns like that.
The funny part of this is I first read that as bat misers, and I was like, what? But yeah. okay, so 20 or more games with 10 strikeouts. So we'll go... I'm going to go a fella named Kershaw.
Number.
A guy named. Oh, good.
You're going to say number one, I think, so I'll let you have it.
Koufax?
There you go. So it was Koufax, number one of 97, Kershaw, second with 65.
And then the two Dons, Drysdale and Sutton.
Drysdale, number four with 32. Don Sutton tied for fifth with 27.
Okay, wow. So now there's. Okay, so Fernando.
Tied with Don Sutton for fifth, 27.
Wow, so I'm 27 is fifth. What's Kershaw at second?
Second. Number? So you're missing third, fourth, and seventh.
Oh, fourth too. Wow. I don't. Let's see. Let's just go. Okay, so longevity here. I guess Oral.
Nope. Two of these names should be near the top of your guest list, I would think. The other surprises me a little bit.
Zach Greinke?
Nope.
Yeah, he was only 3 years.
Three and four both
Ramon
have...
Ramon Martinez?
No. Extreme longevity, extreme excellence for a long period of time.
But I already said Fernando. Okay, so... Now I'm...
I'll tell you this. Really... Fernando isn't in the Hall of Fame. The other two are.
Oh, yeah. Okay. See, I'm in the U category now.
Yeah.
Dazzy Vance.
Yeah. And Don Drysdale.
I said Don Drysdale.
You did?
Yeah, I said the two Dons, Sutton and
you
Dysdale.
You did. I apologize.
Yeah.
So yeah, you had fourth the whole time with third twos. Dazzy was 37.
Oh, okay.
I apologize. You did say that in my head. I'm just checking off incorrectly.
So I'm still missing seven?
Seven, a Jacob Birch era pitcher. Huh. Early Jacob Birch era.
Yeah.
But
he was only 3.5 years. Kevin Brown?
Nope.
Nomo.
There you go.
Yeah.
24.
Of course.
Also on Monday, Scherzer became the 21st different Dodger in the wildcard era to record 10 or more strikeouts without a walk. Five of them have three or more of those games. Can Eric name them?
Yeah.
You're naming the five with three or more, just to make that clear. Not all 21, which would be hilarious.
Right. Yeah. Oh, God. Okay, so Kershaw, I think he had like three in a row a couple times,
yeah,
I'd say, which is crazy.
24 total.
Yeah.
So, yeah, number one.
I'm going to go to Greinke on this one.
Nope.
Well, it's a straight lie. What about, okay, I don't think. What about Hyunjin Ryu?
Nope. Positive.
Let's see. Okay, in the wild card era, so Nomo?
Number three. Tied for third place with two others, with three.
Okay. Chan Ho?
Nope.
Okay.
Two of these I'm gonna word this carefully. Two of these pitched in a Dodgers game this year, and the other is a another Jacob Birch era pitcher.
Mm-hmm. Okay. pitched in a Dodgers game this year. Rich Hill?
Rich Hill, number four with three.
I almost guessed him second. oh boy.
The other who's pitched in a Dodger game pitched for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Glad you got my hint. I was proud of that.
Yeah, no, that was good. Okay. This is sad. I guess. Did Urias do it?
Mm-mm.
I already said Kershaw. Now this is getting
This is vindicating.
Dumb.
This is like normally when this happens, like you just start rattling names off, and then I'm like, get my vengeance.
I don't know why. Did I guess Billingsley yet?
You haven't, but now you did, and he's tied with third with Nomo and Hill. So you're missing second place with six of them.
Six.
And an active Dodger.
Hmm.
We've talked about Scherzer. We've named Kershaw already, and you asked incorrectly Urias. Name the other Dodger starting pitcher.
Okay. Yeah, no. You're right. It's Walker Buehler. I don't know why.
I really appreciate this because I feel like an idiot every time I can't think of a really obvious name.
I was sitting there like, well, I've named everybody. Yeah. Like, you know,
no,
like,
I've done. We've been through all of that. I know this feeling every single week where you're like, no, just name outfielders that played on the 2014 team. I'm like, screw you.
Like, name pitchers who have the initials WB. I already said that. Yeah, of course. That's wonderful. All right.
Besides Scherzer, four other Dodger pitchers in the wildcard era have averaged more than 10 strikeouts in 10 or less starts. This answer is very fluid since both Scherzer and another current Dodger are likely to finish with at least 10 starts. Nonetheless, who are these pitchers?
10 or less? What is this 10 or less stuff? 10 or less?
Maybe it means 10 or more. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm confused. I just read the question.
Okay. Well, then I'll just go with Kershaw, Nomo.
No.
So it is 10 or less.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense.
All right.
Okay, I've caught up. I understand. We're caught up. 10 or less.
So, like, Kenley? What is he going for here?
10 or less starts. 10 or less starts.
Right, but like
Kenley short-term great pitchers, I think, is what he's going for.
Huh. All right.
I'm looking at the list now. And I will give you a hint. There's only one 2020 season on here, because that would have been an easy candidate for a lot of these.
Oh. Okay. Gonsolin?
This year, Tony Gonsolin. Mm-hmm. 10.6 strikeouts per nine.
All right. And I have to name how many?
Three others? Yeah, three others.
Good God. All right. Rich Hill?
2016. 10.22.
Oh, so then Yu Darvish?
11.05. Yeah, we got it. We figured out what this was asking.
Okay.
and then you're missing the 2020 season.
Oh. Now this is so...
I really...
so I think, because I'm trying to think of that last, I can't remember how many starts he made or games he made that were bulk. So I'm going to guess Dustin May.
Nope.
Bueller?
There you go. Like, I wonder how long we can spend before you say Walker Bueller again.
This is me waiting to answer Walker Bueller on every question.
I love this next question. In 2021, Kenley Jansen is having his 11th season with 10 or more strikeouts per nine with 10 or more games finished. Five other Dodgers in the wild card era have at least two seasons of doing that. Can Eric name these relievers?
Broxton?
Number two with five of those years.
Two seasons. Hung Chi Kuo?
Tied for fifth with two of those seasons.
Takashi Saito?
Number four with three of those seasons. So you're missing three.
Eric Gagne.
Number three with four of those seasons.
What number I will am give I you
a gift basket if you get to the other pitcher.
What place is he in?
He's tied with Hung Chi Kuo.
How many?
In two, Kuo had 2 years. Two,
yeah. Okay. 10 or more games finished. Let's go.
This is incredible.
Let's go Brandon League.
No.
Okay, so gift basket's off the table.
No, I mean, if you get this period without me giving you another hint. Right. I'm going to give you one hint for free, because it's not much of a hint. I guess it's kind of a hint. The highest this reliever finished in ERA plus with the Dodgers was 101.
Oh.
That's hard to do. average 10 or more strikeouts.
So that, I wonder if it's, okay. Scott Radinsky?
Nope. Take one more stab and then I'll give you the years he played for the Dodgers.
All right. Guillermo Mota.
No, it was 2015 through 2017.
Oh, Chris Hatcher?
There you go. Good job.
I almost guessed him second. Yeah, I was like, I'm going to go with what from one hated reliever in Brandon League to another like that people complained about like all the time. So
That's still remarkable to me to strike out that many and yet such a clunker. Well, there you go.
Nice.
You redeemed yourself.
Those were fun. Walker Bueller. Yay. Yeah.
I've done that with Andre Ethier at least three times. So
yeah.
Max Scherzer.
And I also got Dazzy Vance too. That was like a perfect storm of comeuppance for me.
Max Scherzer is having a historic season at the plate, and even in his short time with the Dodgers, he can become the top player in franchise history if he continues his lack of reaching base. The most plate appearances in Dodger franchise history without reaching base, even on an error, is 22. In LA Dodger history, it's 21. for the contest. And Eric can go first. Craig didn't get the check. Will Scherzer finish the season with the Dodger record, or will he get on base somehow? For the tiebreaker, how many total plate appearances, currently 53 with Washington included, without going over, will he finish the season with if he breaks the record?
Am I guessing that his total plate appearances, or am I saying...
Well, first you need to figure out...
Will he get the record?
Yeah, we need to decide if he's going to get
it. It's just will he's going to... Yeah. Is he going to get... Okay, so he's at 16 now. He needs 22 to get the record. So we are at... He started on the 6th. Let's say he starts twice every 11 days. So he gets one extra rest in there. So 22 days later... from yesterday. So that would put his fourth start at September 28th. They also play on October 3rd. So could conceivably, I don't think he's getting five more starts, but let's say he gets four more starts.
Does game 163 counts, right?
Yes. Oh. So four more starts. I figure he gets at least two plate appearances each game. So he's definitely getting it. I think he gets 11 total plate appearances. So I think he's going to end up with 64. He's at 53 now, right? Is that what he said?
And he's not getting on base, you're saying.
Oh.
That's the other way this goes.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my pitchers are terrible.
I'm going to go whether this is the 28th-ish or game 163. Last game, regular season game, he pitches for the Dodgers, he gets it. Gets on base. Mm-hmm. Bloop single to left center.
Jacob. No Scherzer hit. Okay. I'm just noting that Scherzer's going to get 64 total PA just to brag if I get it right. Speaking of that, I moonlighted on the Effectively Wild podcast last week with Grant Brisby. In preparation for Dodgers Giants, and they asked me to predict, and Grant was smart enough to not predict anything, and I said Dodgers are winning 2 out of 3, and the total score will be 17-12. Sunday needed to be 9-8. It did not get to 9-8, so and they lost 2 out of 3. So I was wrong twice. So congratulations in advance.
Now I have an important question. Shouldn't the Dodgers get the tiebreaker because they won the Pythagorean series?
That's right. Yeah,
that's what I've been told.
They have the best run differential. The Mariners have the best fun differential. I do enjoy that Baseball Reference still has a link to that up on the Mariners page. So I wanted to add some context to this. So sure, I looked it up. Scherzer's 0 for 50 this season. 22 strikeouts. He has 2 sack bunts. He had a sack fly with the Dodgers. Wei-Yin Chen was 0 for 44 with 5 sacrifices in 2016. That's the record for hitless plate appearances. I don't remember if this was worded as hitless plate appearances to start a season, but that's what Chen's entire season was in 2016. So Scherzer has beaten that if it's to start a season. Obviously, if he gets a hit, like it wouldn't count. But the record for hitless at-bats... Bob Buell, in 1962, he had one game with the Braves, then was sent to the Cubs, 0 for 70. 0 for 70, a pitcher, obviously. He walked 6 times, though, and he was hit by a pitch, so he did reach base. Then I looked up Eugenio Velez in 2011, 0 for 37, a record for position players, or at least like for an entire season. I believe Chris Davis passed Craig Counsell a couple years ago in terms of consecutive hitless at-bats. But Velez in 2011, he walked twice and was hit by a pitch, so he actually reached 3 times that year. So he was an on-base machine. That's all I wanted to add to that.
Just looking at the list that Craig posted, there's some good seasons up there.
Yeah.
Shohei Ohtani has a qualified season 157 OPS plus with 43 home runs and 23 stolen bases and over 150 ERA plus in just 112 innings pitched. Just typing that list since gives me pause. The second contest question. Jacob can go first. That's right. Simply, will he finish with both rate numbers over 150? Oh, I go first. Waiting
yeah,
for you,
I was like,
which is funny.
What are you doing? Yeah.
Yes. Take that. Are you going to hate fun, Eric?
So he's at exactly 150 right now. Yep. I mean, just for the sake of the contest, I am going to hate fun. And I'm going to say he's going to finish with a 148 ERA plus. So he fails. Fail! Shohei Ohtani, terrible player. Film at 11.
Milwaukee is still a few weeks away from clinching their playoff spot, but likely they'll reach a point when the only thing remaining for them will be that final seed in the NL and home field advantage. Well, it can be playing with fate if you try to orchestrate your matchups. Do you think they should aim for seed 2 and play the NL East winner? Or as they showed last week, Milwaukee can beat anyone, so go ahead and take on that wild card winner.
I think they do whatever it takes to get their rotation lined up how they want it. So, like, don't do anything that's going to mess that up. But I will say they're gonna clinch the playoff spot pretty soon. Their magic number for a playoff spot is only 13. For the division, it is also 13. So, yeah, it's so yeah. They're like next week it could be. But yeah, so maybe not as far off as we thought, but yeah, I think I don't think it's worth like going full board. Now they're still they're not that far off the Dodgers. They're 3.5 behind the Dodgers and 4.5 behind the Giants right now. So like if they catch them, they catch them, cool. But I, you know, I think it's more. Like lining up who they want.
Yep. Yeah, and I think just in general, I think it's more than just playing with fate. I think to do anything other than we're trying to win games, you know, resting players for rest's sake, I think that's something you can buy into, but we're resting you to try to kind of lose. It's just, I think it's more than just like a karma thing. Like, I think that's just not good.
That would be something that Kyle Farnsworth would be justified in getting mad about. So, yeah. But the other one, no.
Football season starts up again, and that means time for more chicken wings. This week's food question is about wings. Using this list of sauce rub choices from Jefferson's, a Lawrence, Kansas franchise. Let me tell you, they are not a sponsor, at least not yet, but I am I eat at Jefferson's almost every week. It is.
Wow.
Like, it's strange in that, like, it's not like, oh my gosh, you're at Lawrence, you have to go to Jefferson's. It's just a sports bar, but
yeah.
It hits the spot and it's a block away from my work. So
I need to move on up, it sounds like.
There you go. Please choose your top 5 flavors, and do you prefer just heat, or do you like some sweetness and or tang in your chicken bite? Thanks. So real quick, I'll just answering that question before I get through this list. Are you ranking them? We're going to pick 5. Got
just,
it.
Just picking 5.
Yeah. I cannot just be heat. I appreciate a good heat, although there is, I am not a hothead? Is that the term people use?
Hothead is one. So I'm a big fan of the Doughboys podcast and Nick Weiger. His sort of go-to Joe Klein on there. He's like, I'm something of a heat seeker. Yeah. That's how he sort of refers to it. So
I appreciate a good heat, but there's a level where it does not become the more enjoyable for me.
No, I love like the hot stuff, but there has to be something to it. Mm-hmm. Like, not necessarily sweet for me,
no,
but like a flavor.
And in fact, especially if I'm going with heat, I don't, hot plus sweet doesn't work for me. So,
but also like, yeah, like
so
I've gotten to the point
vinegariness
where
of buffalo sauce is definitely my preferred. So I'll start off this by drafting number one with a bullet, because it is what I actually get at Jefferson's all the time, is hot, just normal, hot buffalo.
Wait, does it mean I can't have hot?
No, I think like, you can. I don't think we're. I don't think this is a draft. I think you just have to pick.
So I was looking at this now. There's one word that is preventing me from immediately jumping on this, but my go-to, like at most places, if they have something in this realm. Is spicy garlic. This one, the choice that I have not eaten at Jefferson's, I assume it's great. I'll take your word for it.
Yep.
I love wings. Spicy garlic parm. It's probably really good. So I'm just going to take it on blind faith and hope that the spicy garlicness will come through. Yeah. Now, they have garlic parmesan regular down below. I've had that. The cheese aspect of it doesn't overwhelm. So, like, I'm sure it's fine. But that's the sort of flavory spiciness I like. So that's what I'm going with.
Next, I'm going to go with Cajun.
Cajun is solid. So for me, look.
What's very funny to me while you're thinking on this is that I have eaten at Jefferson's a large amount of times. I don't know if I've ever got anything but hot.
So I'm delaying me eventually picking hot. I will pick it. Mm-hmm. But what is double dipped?
So double dipped is they coat it in, I believe, the hot sauce, and then they fry it. And they fry it, they sauce it, they fry it, they fry it again. And wow. I don't think they sauce it after that. So I've had...
Oh, it's not double sauce. It's double fried.
I believe so. I know when they come up, they tend to be a little drier than a normal.
So, okay, in that regard, I will stay away from that for now. But you said Cajun, so I'm going to go with Caribbean jerk.
That works. I will note that the double dipped is a signature of theirs. Okay. And it ends up being crispier. I know it ends up being crispier, and from my memory, they weren't sauced as much. But maybe that was just because I got there late. I'm not sure. My third is going to be... let's go a little cooler, not so hot. Lemon pepper.
See, lemon pepper is a good sort of... not a palate cleanser...
No, I think that almost
flavor, but it fits the bill as flavor wise. Like it's excellent. I'm gonna go here. I'm trying to stay away from ones you've chosen, although I probably will end up with those. I'm gonna go as much as I'm not a huge sweet person. I will go mango habanero because that's usually a good combo.
I
will trust it.
You're stealing my thunder this time, because that's despite having just said hot plus sweet, don't really like that. Tends to be an exception in that.
Yeah,
I find it's just enough sweetness to where it doesn't really bother me. But given that, I will just I'll go smoky barbecue.
Nice. Now I was gonna note this because there are a couple barbecue ones on here. I'm not a fan of barbecue wings, just generally. I know it's like sacrilege, probably, especially there.
I mean, but, you know, if you're going to do barbecue here, chicken tends to be one of the last things you get. But when it's good, it's good.
Like yeah. So I'm not discounting it. I'm going to go with Asian Zinger. It's probably a wild card because depending on the heat, I would like it to be probably a little hotter than it might be, but like flavor wise, probably pretty good. So,
and to end things off, I'll say double dipped just because they're as well known as they are.
Okay, I'm gonna go see. I'm gonna go with hot.
Okay,
and
good choice.
Like, see, they're apparently. I'm assuming this is in order of heat, or at least the very top one, Afterburner Turbo, I'm assuming that's the hottest one.
I believe you're correct.
I would try that, but I've long since given up the ghost pepper, if you will. Yeah. On that stuff, like, it's one thing, like charring my mouth isn't fun. I don't know. Yeah, that's where we're at. But yeah, so I think we did a good job. We're going to have some excellent wings.
Now I might have to see if there's a Jefferson's visit in my cards for dinner tonight.
I think we've talked about this before. Wingstop is very good for a chain.
It's way better than it has any right to be for a chain.
Exactly. So, and that place, I do tend to go for the Atomic, which is their hottest, but it's not over the top. It's not like...
I still think their hot is perfect for
me. Hot, so. You're right. You're probably right. But yeah, now all I'm thinking about is wings, but I'm also getting a crown in with a dental appointment later this evening. So Do I do the wings right after getting the crown, or do I do the wings? I think I'm going to do the wings for lunch and then have my dentist be like, what did you eat? No, we'll see how that goes. I'll brush my teeth in between. I'm not a heathen. But yeah, so eat some hot wings, whatever flavor you want. Watch the Dodgers this week. Figure out who's going to win the Cy Young between Walker Buehler and Max Scherzer, who's going to start game one. And then we'll talk about it in the next couple weeks. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.